Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens. Well, hello! Welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Yale Probs. I'm Ronnie. Guess who's with me? He's cute. He's talented. Smart. Thin. Adorable. Has a hummingbird sitting outside his window probably as we speak. His name is Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. How's it going today, baby?
It's good. The hummingbird isn't here yet, so I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm feeling a little rejected. I'm like, I just want that hummingbird to come. I'm like, Jesus, every night I pray for Jesus to send me a bone. And that bone should be in the shape of a hummingbird. Just give me a bone bird, Jesus.
Throw me a bone bird, Jesus. Throw me a bone. I will not be called a peeping Tom one more time. Sutton losing her shit. Welcome to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, everybody. But first, this is in Crappin. This is a Crappin's On Demand episode. Okay, means we're on video. Hi. How are you? So come on Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Sign up at the Crappens On Demand level. In that level, you get the videos and also the weekly bonus episodes. Okay, when you sign up for Patreon, you cap your amount. Okay, so just cap the most amount you're willing to spend a month when you sign up. Okay, that's a big tip there. Thank you so much to everybody who signed up with us. We love you. Our bonus episode this week is a cast breakdown of Big Brother. Do you not watch Big Brother? It doesn't matter, because really all we're doing is looking at pictures online and judging the fuck out of people. So it's really rude and really fun. So come listen to that anyway. And today is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Day. Another huge, huge episode of Beverly Hills, Ben.
Wait, I know you hate when I start an episode on a downer note, but there's one thing we forgot to mention on yesterday's Real Housewives of New York episode, which is RIP to T'Challa from Real Housewives of Potomac, who died in a freak accident. So far, when we're recording this, details are unknown. But T'Challa, I'm sure T'Challa's up there in bird heaven, terrorizing other birds and flying close to their heads. So we'll miss you, T'Challa. You were a great, great one-season wonder on Potomac.
Yeah, we'll miss you, T'Challa. Rip, babe. Rip.
Yeah, RIP. Anyway, now back to Beverly Hills. I can't believe, actually, with all that discussion of hummingbirds in this intro and yesterday, that we didn't even talk about T'Challa. That is just rude. That is rude on our behalf.
Yeah, I don't like to roll around in death. Okay.
Yeah.
Even you know, death. Whenever somebody dies, you're like my mother. Okay. It's like, how are you doing today? Well, did you hear that Cindy's son has cancer? It's like, I'm asking you how you're doing. Like, do we have to? Why? Why do we have to talk about this?
No,
you guys love when there's bad shit happening, you know? It's like, how you doing?
I'm not.
Somebody died, you know? Here's who died.
I'm not here to bask in the sadness. I'm here because if I don't say anything, then we'll get lots of people sending us links. Did you hear that? Did you hear that T'Challa died? Did you hear that T'Challa died? So in some ways, it's also...
Well, that is how I heard.
Yes. But there are people who didn't hear. So I'm letting people know because I feel like people want to know about T'Challa. So
for people who haven't heard about T'Challa, you need to get some friends who watch Bravo, okay? Because any Bravo person with Bravo friends had a phone that just kept dinging. Like, I was resentful of T'Challa by the end of it, honestly. I was like, stop dinging my phone, T'Challa, all right? Stop. Like, ding, 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 T'Challa, which is really sad. I want to know what freak accident means.
God, I
need the mystery unraveled.
Like, what is the percentage that it was just Chris rolling over in bed and T'Challa was in the wrong place at the wrong time?
Yeah, it's a big chance, actually.
It's a very large, huge chance.
Extremely huge
chance.
Gigantic.
It's a chance with big hands. A chance with very large hands. So,
large chance with a very deep voice.
Very deep voice chance. Yeah. Okay, so Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. The episode opens up and we have a close up of a flower, and then we hear "Fuck you, Crystal," which I think it's a great way to open up an episode.
drinks on a picnic table. Dun, 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 dun. But outside, bum, 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 bum.
There's a gourd. A decorative gourd. Wow. Beverly Hills is off the rails this season. There's a decorative gourd. It's so tense.
Dramatic music when it's like a picnic full of Big Lots decorations. You know, Rena's cheap ass went to Big Lots and got all those plastic plates and stuff. It's one of us, guys.
And then you hear Crystal saying, "You're upset because you're jealous, period." Jealous of what? Your ugly leather pants. But it's also like echoey because it's like, wow, what is this life? Yeah.
And this was the big scene of the season that they've been teasing us with all year. It's like,
yes,
the leather pants scene.
They were fighting in front of pumpkins.
And then you just hear Kyle going, "Oh my god, oh 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 my god. What happened? What happened? Fire drill."
Just hoses them all down. Just hoses them down. Get in the fire tub. So then 3 days earlier. So Rena and Harry are at the store. They're grocery shopping.
Store. How are you, checkout lady? How are you, meat worker? It's a store. They sell things here, Harry.
They have a store full of food that you can buy. Can you believe it? They call it a gross store? Grocery. Grocery. What a great concept. I love that. Rena's telling us that Harry's an amazing cook, and some of his specialties are Kobe beef, which is his meat, blueberry pie, but there's also bolognese, garçon.
Yeah, bolognese. Or Rena.
Yeah, they say it's bolognese.
Bolognese.
And she goes,
"Bolognese.
Harry's bolognese is so well known. He makes it in Canada. It's so well known. It's cross borders. He makes it in Canada all the time, and everyone loves it. Justin Trudeau called up and said, 'Can I have that bolognese? Hello, how are you, Justin Trudeau?'"
Harry can only cook three things, I think, because they've all been done on camera. I think he's officially out. So I don't know if this means that their time on the show here is done or what, but I think this is it. Magic number three. Harry showed off his bolognese. It's time to go. Time to go. Okay.
Fire
in the store. There's a fire in the store. Just kidding. Harry loves that.
He loves a fire drill. So he's trying to check out, and Rena goes wandering off in the store. It's like she's never been in one before. She's like, "Oh yeah, oh wow, oh I love these burgers. They're the best. I know they're the. I mean, I haven't had one in 5 years, but they're the best."
Do we need olive oil? We need olive oil. We don't. I want olive oil. We have to have Harry. They have olive oil. They have wine here. Harry,
it's oil from olives. Wait, can you believe this? Can you believe this right now, ladies? How are you?
So then we go to Crystal and Erica. And Crystal, they are at Kathy's house. Yeah. Kathy's big ass church
palatial,
house.
Enormous house, just showing up all the other houses. And they just go to Crystal and Erica there to play tennis. So it's another classic Real Housewives tennis scene where no one has actually ever played tennis before. So we just have to watch a lot of balls get, you know, bounced around. And why did I write it's an ode to a summer's? Did Erica say that? It's an ode to a summer day.
Crystal said that.
Crystal said that. Oh, well, either way. So Erica's talking and she says, "Well, my new house is cute, but..." Why did I write down these random notes? I just wrote down Erica saying, "My new house is cute."
Because that's literally the entire show. That's Real Housewives of Beverly. That's what these women do on this show, okay? They're like, "Wow, we're dressed like it's summer outside.
Amazing. I mean, my new house is cute, but this is huge.
Oh, yeah. Kathy let us borrow her court.
Oh, it's fab."
It's literally like 10 minutes of that.
Yeah. I'm also like really pushing it back against this narrative that Erica lives in some sort of decrepit shack that she's just so happy has running water. I mean, because Erica is in a nice-ass house. I'm sorry. It's a nice-ass house in a nice-ass neighborhood. So stop playing this whole, like, "Well, I got to keep little something other, you know. Got to keep a broom nearby when the bats come around. But otherwise, it's a cute little spot."
Yeah, it's $1.5 million, which I guess is cheap for her. But if one of us lived in that, we'd be like, "Ooh,
Ooh, hell yeah.
Fancy Pantsy driving up to me house now.
So they're just playing tennis. And
yeah, we're all in this. We're still in this mode where Erica's like so fun loving. Has Erica ever done any shit like this on this show where she just shows up to play tennis with somebody? Literally never happened.
She would make fun of tennis.
Yeah,
she would make fun of it.
Like, oh, look at me. I'm a girl just trying to have fun with my girlfriend. Look at me. Love your house. I'm tiny and poor. My house is tiny and I'm a poor lady. Can't wait for people to cry for me.
I'm so
glad I stayed up all night long cleaning these clothes in a bucket of sudsy water, then drawing them on a rack. It was worth it for this tennis game.
So then
I'm trying to motivate myself to get out and do things and not wallow. So I'm here.
You don't have Mikey to like lick your butthole. That's why you're here. Okay.
Yeah.
You literally have nothing else to do because otherwise you'd just be sitting on Mikey's face. And we all know it.
Crystal is
Mikey's spiritually, face. I mean, spiritually.
And then meanwhile, Crystal's still trying to push this tomboy narrative that she recently started up. She's like, yeah, I'm a total tomboy, as you can see from this, like, look at this butch ass designer couture top I'm wearing. I'm such a tomboy. I mean, I'm so into sports. I've been told like I'm the most hideously competitive person, and like I don't think that, but like whoever said that is probably a loser. It's probably Rob. I don't know. I'm such a tomboy. I don't even remember who said that. Classic tomboy.
So finally, this scene is supposed to be about like Erica's so bad at tennis, but they just start ignoring Erica and because they're playing doubles. So there's like a girl named Amy there, and there's some other girl there.
Galit.
Yeah, it's like a very LA name, like Galit.
I thought it was Israeli.
Oh, okay. What do I know? So Galit. It's like a Dorit, I think. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why you think it's Israeli and I think it's LA. You know, because it's both.
Yeah, right? Well, maybe Dorit. Galit was like, maybe if I rhyme with Dorit, they'll confuse me for her and I'll be a cast member of the show.
Yeah, and I'll be a good tennis player on it too, mama. And so she's pretty good, but the real story here is that Amy is just fucking terrible. And you know that Amy, whoever brought Amy is not happy with Amy after this. Like, Amy, you fucking suck. This was Erica's moment to suck and show how relatable she is, Amy. Thanks a lot. You fucked everything, Amy.
Yeah, way to go, Amy. If you seek Amy, don't invite her to tennis. So, Kathy wakes up and because she actually is there. They made it sound like she wasn't there. And she's like, oh, hi. How was the tennis game? It was good? Okay. Oh, you want to come on in? If you notice, I'm wearing pajamas that match my decor. So I just woke up 45 minutes ago, and then the show is like 10:50 a.m. Almost as if they're like shaming her, like, wow, Kathy woke up at like 10:10 a.m. Like, good for her. Good for her. What else does she have to wake up for? There's nothing. There's no reason for her to wake up early.
This is early. If I was that rich, I would be in a medically induced coma, okay? Just having like cheese scented through my veins. Why even bother getting up?
We also get some more insight into how Kyle operates because I noticed that Kathy had that giant checkerboard tiling in her foyer of some sort. And I was like, oh, so that's why Kyle has it because Kathy has it. There, it all makes sense.
Yeah, I think Kyle's house actually came with it, but yeah, that was probably something that she liked about it. Kathy, you know what, guys?
Please don't defend the tiles. Don't defend Kyle's tiles, Ronnie.
You know, I just know we're so mean to Kyle that people who really like Kyle are like, oh my God, you guys. So I just want to give the Kyle lovers something, okay? That was me making an effort towards you guys, okay?
I've been starting to like Kyle again. It's just the weirdest thing. So, like,
I know. Go ahead. Enjoy that.
Sorry.
I don't know why. Your bad take.
I'm sorry for myself that I'm liking her now. I don't know what's wrong, but it's just something I have to deal with.
Well, here's my thing. Kathy, I know everybody's loving Kathy. I'm cracking up at Kathy as well. I still will not get on the Kathy train. I do not trust these people on these Bravo shows that make us look stupid the next season when this person is going to do something stupid and embarrass me for being a fan of her.
Yeah.
And here is how I know. She does that rich people, that rich lady thing where rich ladies just get the ugliest shit just so you'll kiss their ass because they're rich and say like how cute their shit is when they know it's ugly. And the whole power is listening to you kiss their ass when everybody knows it's ugly. All those patterns in her house and the curtains and the vases and the matching pajamas.
Mm-hmm. It was very like,
you're not tricking me.
that blue and white look was sort of like a Lisbon tile, like a tiles. I forget that tile work from Lisbon or something like that, or just like an old like China pattern or something. Mm-hmm. So now Eric, they're basically in what I suspect is like the guest quarters or something. They're in like a dinette area. I'm like, there's no way this is the main area. Like, this is clearly the little nook for the guests who want to access the tennis court area. I don't think this is the main part of the house. The house is so big. I just don't believe any of that stuff is accessible from the tennis court.
Yeah, it's like
court.
The butler pantry table.
I know. I was like, this is the servants' quarters. Whoa.
Yes. Help.
So Kathy, so they're just sitting there talking, having coffee or whatever. And Erica's talking about how her house is just in shambles and there's clothing in one room and a bed in another and a raccoon in the third room. And oh, you know, some nights the light bulb flickers and that's the only electricity I get in my poor little $1.5 million house.
And Kathy's showing how relatable she is. She's like, oh, well, do you like the food? It was bought this morning.
Yeah, the food. And then they keep doing this thing like, but you know what, Erica? It's yours. It's your raccoon.
And she goes, and it's all I need, okay? I didn't need to take on what I left. I didn't need to take on all that stuff. And this is mine. It's my little raccoon and my little shack in Hancock Park.
Yeah, where you took furniture from and which got robbed like a month later. So Crystal's like, are you out there being social? And Kathy says, yeah, because when you were married, you were pretty social. And she's like,
oh, yeah, that was for long, but that was Tom's business. Everything he wanted all the time. You know, I just inserted myself in there. Just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean you have a lot of independence.
Are you fucking kidding me? You were traveling the world doing your concert and paid for venues with his money all the time, lady. You were not just like sitting around at home.
Yeah, well, I mean, I still think she had physical space, but obviously what he said went, like, clearly, you know, that was their arrangement. So she talks about how she used to live with two housekeepers that made it a show place. I lived in a show place. And we have a flashback of her giving a tour of the chapel. And she goes, now I'm the housekeeper. I'm doing my laundry myself. You should see me washing dishes. I'm sure there's not another single person in America who has suffered the indignity of doing their own dishes. Wow, the sacrifices I have made, my own dishes. Have you ever heard of a thing called Dawn? Apparently it's a soap you can use. Amazing.
This is how Erica does dishes.
Liar, you dumb bitch. Do the dishes.
There, done.
It's Mikey coming in being like, I love these dishes. I love doing the dishes. Oh, my God. Suds. Everything. Everything.
Hey, Kathy, thank you so much for calling me. I'm sorry you could hear the sound of the vacuum in the background. Yes! Yes, bitch!
Well...
There's no housekeepers, there's no gardeners, no more housekeepers, no more gardeners, and I really value my privacy. And so in some respect, I kind of like it. I can throw my shit all over the place. Look at me living this crazy wild lifestyle of not having any hired help and putting my clothes down somewhere and not picking it up again and folding it and put it into a drawer. Who would have thought?
Well, you have a smile on your face, Erica, and that's not forced.
Oh, yeah, because you know what I did? I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and I kept on going. Like, for example, an orphan would. Or a widow.
I picked myself up and got my little bindle on a stick and I walked right into Larchmont Village and I said, I would like to rent that $1.5 million house, please. And you know what? It's been difficult. I'll admit it. I thank you all for your sympathies and being in this tiny little shack with just a pool and a giant foyer and extra rooms for my clothing. It's been awful. But I did it, and it's mine.
Bootstraps.
So then we go to Kyle's house, and she's doing like those family Christmas card things where everybody's dressed the same and like laughing.
It's obnoxious and awful. But she does this every year on the show. I think she's been trying to make it a thing, like her white party. Like, well, if it's November, I'm doing my photo shoot. Because remember last year when the dogs went wild and she's like, oh my God, Storm, how am I ever? We only have Alexia for 5 more minutes. Like, it was like the biggest drama in the world. So they're doing it again. And then Kathy shows up and she's like, oh my, that's cute. Am I supposed to be in the card? because I'm not wearing red. I'm not dressed like a poor person today. Am I supposed to be in this?
And it's like, yeah, we want a funny one with all the stuff from quarantine, like, you know, like chips and wine. It's not funny. It's not funny. Quarantine fans. Christmas jobs.
Where's the fan?
Hello!
Do you have fans Hello! Or newspapers? This is quarantine stuff, right? Fans and newspapers?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Kathy's like, you know, this is a great width. What does that mean? You
so
know,
they go,
this
is they, a great they
width.
Walk,
oh, a
they,
great width. But she pronounces it with. She's talking about the table. You yeah, know, this is a great width. It's a great width.
It is a great width. You could probably fit about 6 fans on this thing. So, and Kyle's like, I know, we never eat at the dining table because it's for like 16 people. We just have a 16-person table just lying around unused. Am I right? It's almost as if it could be another den. Yeah, I think it was back in the day. I'm like, back in the day, like 2 years ago.
Yeah. So Kathy's like, smell this.
I'm dry.
She's like spritzing herself from something she got out of the bag, her bag. She's like, oh, I've got everything in here. Everything in the kitchen sink. I actually have a kitchen sink. I'm renovating my butler's pantry now that poor people have been in it. So we're going to just redo the whole thing now that we've shot in it. And I actually have a sink sample in my bag. Yeah.
She carries socks, shoes, sweater, spa shoes, sandals for her pedicure.
Yep.
And a huge ass pill box. So Kyle's like, why do you have this? Are you going on a trip? And she's like, no, I just need them.
Yeah. She's like a contained hoarder. She just hoards in her bag. So she's like, well, so I spoke to Kim for 3 hours. I hadn't talked to her for a while. And Kyle's like, oh my God, I'm just worried about her on Thanksgiving. You know, do you see the anguish on my face? That was acting. Thank you so much. I learned that from Michael Myers. Anyway.
Just imagine being Kim. You don't have your husband. You don't have your kids. You're all alone in quarantine. Emilio won't call you back.
Well, I told her she can come over, and she said she's just too nervous. She's too nervous.
And Kyle's like, well, I texted her and didn't hear her back. Oh, you have the wrong number. Yeah, she changed her phone. Didn't want to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. This is the best shit that happened this whole season. That Kim Richards changed her number and didn't tell Kyle.
Well, she's probably tired of Kyle's patronizing ass phone calls. I'm just worried about you. I mean, you're there all alone. You don't have anyone with you. No family. No husband. You haven't even been called in for a Halloween sequel. I mean, it must be so hard for you, Kim. I'm worried about you. She's like, fuck this bitch. I'm changing this number.
Yeah. So Kyle's like, well, we've tried. We've been inviting her to things and she doesn't come. She just doesn't come. I mean, she's by herself every day. Kathy's like, well, she has been. I mean, every day since this started. You know, she said this is supposed to happen and we just all need to have our quiet time to figure out where we want to be in life. She sounded great.
She sounds high. Okay. That's what she sounds like. Let's just all say it now. Nobody says, you know what we really need? We just need time alone to really figure things out and be spiritual, miracle. Okay. Guess who says that? Me, when I'm high.
Admittedly, it was hard to hear her above the sound of the mayonnaise sloshing around. I think she's back on the chicken salad kick.
Chicken salad. This stuff.
So then, yeah. So Kyle's just like, I just feel like she doesn't see anyone. I just feel bad, you know? And then she drinks Mauricio's water. And then Kathy's like, well, you have to still be careful. And she's like, it's my husband, Kathy. So then we go to Erica in her tiny, tiny shack.
Oh, my God. Don't jump in the puddles. It's a pool. That's what they call it in poor people land.
I never thought that here I would be, once living the lap of luxury and now in this horrific 7-person sectional, outdoor sectional that costs several $1,000 out in the backyard. And to think that this backyard is so, it's a miracle that I even have enough space for a giant sectional and a pool back here, but I do. God, sometimes I just feel like a regular street urchin.
So Rena comes over and she's like, oh my God! Oh my God, Erica! Look at this house! Look at it! Erica, is that a pool? Erica, here's some pennies. Let's throw them in. It's as big as a fountain. the tiniest pool I've ever seen.
You want me to hose you down?
Fire drill, poor person.
I brought a kiddie pool, but it looks like you already have one. I get such a good vibe here. Are you kidding me? There's a hallway. There's a hallway. I didn't think there was room for a hallway, but there's a hallway. This is so fabulous, and it's so charming. And look, they put lights in. Poor people thought about lights. I thought that was a rich person thing. Are you kidding me?
You're newly poor to have so many lights, Erica. Once you're used to being poor, you start to see in the dark.
Wait a second. They have a door on the bathroom? It's not just a curtain? Are you kidding me?
So Ren is like, wow, Erica, she's really doing it. She is poor. She is so poor.
She's like, it's not easy going from a life where everything's done for you, and now she's doing it all. She's doing it all. I'm like, can we, like,
I admit it's hard to go probably from the lap of luxury to, like, a slightly smaller lap of luxury, but can we, like, not give out trophies for being able to, like, fold your own clothing? Like, it's really not that big of a deal. And I say that as someone who's very lazy.
And we still have no evidence that she is doing that. So Erica, the producer asks Erica, so this is the first time in 22 years you've had to think about money? She's like,
oh, yeah, but let's not forget, I had a New York Times bestseller. I was just on Broadway. I have multiple shoe collabs, makeup collab. I've got enough for Postmates in my little house. I'm doing just fine.
You know, Ronald Richards is like, say, could you rewind that?
Okay. My little
makeup
house.
Collab,
my little
collab.
Little house. I'm doing all right.
So she, by the way, she, never mind, it's not worth this rant. I was about to summon the energy for a rant and I was like, is it worth it? Do we need a rant right now? I don't think so, because it was not gonna be an interesting one. So Sutton shows up and she's brought a housewarming gift, and she's brought a signed book from Mr. Dolce. It's a signed book, but it could also work as a kitchen island, seeing how small this kitchen is in here. Here, we'll just put it on top of some cans. There you go, honey.
The Dolce Queen's book, which I'm in twice. Thank you very much. Okay.
And yeah, she's on a page and it says Queens. And it's just, it's again, a rich person. And in this case, I mean Dolce, just laughing at someone who's not as rich.
Yeah.
Because it's like, dress them like a fucking houseplant, put them in a book that people will laugh at for years, and then just sit back and laugh.
And then Erica goes, well, this has been a big life change. I went from monstrosity to cute and tiny chic. Stop saying cute, stop saying tiny. It's not tiny. There's a pool. There's enough space in your backyard that you can put in an enormous sectional. Okay, please
stop
saying
it's not a tent city. Okay, for Christ's sake, it's like West Hollywood.
And listen, if she was like, yeah, I downsized, but I got this awesome like bungalow, whatever. Not even bungalow. I got this house. But the fact that she's pushing this, like, it's this tiny little thing. I'm like, please stop saying that.
Ladies, I've got some hot dogs on some sticks. We're gonna roast over this burning trash can. Thanks for coming over, ladies.
My house is so small, I sit in my bed and reach out my window and I'll reach the trash can. It's that small.
So Erica's like, but what's up with you?
Oh, she tells us, well, I mentioned I was going to a psychiatrist and there was just a shrug, like, Erica, there was no one saying, Erica, how are you feeling? Because remember, it's my life, so what would I have to be depressed about? What would I, Erica Jane, have to be depressed about?
So then Sutton starts talking about Crystal and she's like, well, I just, you know, I think it's strange that Crystal isn't willing to back up and admit she used the wrong word. Violate. Can you believe that? Because she had that. Serena's like, oh, are we going to talk about it on Tuesday? Should I tell the producers? Is this what our discussion is going to be?
She's again? Like, seriously? Again? She's like, well, we can talk about it, but I'll tell you what we're not going to do. We are not going to talk about me being a peeping Tom. A peeping Thomasina. We are not doing that. I did not like that. You know what? I don't think peeping Toms knock on the door first. You know what they do? They stand across the street and they peep.
That's right. They peep. They peep. So then we go to Garcelle's house and she's with her kids. It's like this is like, I guess, a thing this season. Like, what's new in Garcelle's kitchen? What sort of smiley, happy things are going on with the teenagers. So her son Jax is
going on in Garcelle's kitchen. That's so
it's
true.
Like literally every episode, it's Garcelle, like one episode, it's Garcelle with her kids being like, "So I think that I'm gonna go dating." And the next one is like, "So I bought some sneakers." And then the next
they need to do with Garcelle. Just have her on the side, not even in the scenes, just making fun of the scenes, like the people's couch for Beverly Hills, because she is hilarious just making fun of everybody. That's all I really need from Garcelle at this point. Just sit there and mock every single person who comes on the screen, okay?
Exactly. And so the big thing here is that her son Jax is learning Japanese, and so he's decided to do his school lessons in the kitchen. I don't know why in the kitchen, arguably the noisiest room in the house, that's often the ground zero for people gathering, but he decides to do that there, and he's trying to learn it. And so then they're just making all this noise. First, Garcelle calls up her other son Jade to be like, "Can you come downstairs?" He's just upstairs. She's like, "Can you come downstairs?" "Oh, sorry, Jax, didn't mean to make this much noise. Can you come downstairs? Hold on, I gotta put this chicken parmesan in the oven." Clash, come on,
crash.
Yeah, and Jade is really moody because he's a teenager. So he's like, "I'm not going to eat. I'm mad. I'm so mad all the time. I'm so mad, Mom." So that's that. So then we go over to Lisa Rinna's house, and the table is set with what I suspect is Big Lots plates, which, hey, listen, they're nice plates. Okay. I might own some myself, which is how I recognize them. So the table's all set, and Harry's cooking, and he's like, "Oh my God, look in the spinach and look at that salad." She's like, "Harry, the salad in the fridge. Oh, Harry, it's amazing, Harry."
"Oh, Harry, it looks like Positano out there. Positano in Beverly Hills. Positano. Parker Positano. Are you kidding me?"
So he makes her try two different sauces. One he's made with their homegrown tomatoes, and the other he's made with store-bought tomatoes. And she's like, "Well, that one's too sweet, and this one's good." He's like, "That's right. Those are my tomatoes. Homegrown tomato." I like when rich people like think they figure some new shit out. Like, you grew a fucking tomato. Wow.
Yeah. Although I have to say, I was sitting there watching, I was like, wow, he's doing such a good job with his garden, because like my garden box is going through it right now. I mean, like, I had a small victory in that I plucked an inchworm off of my sage, and I was like, "There you fucking are. You've been terrorizing my plant for 2 weeks now, and I finally found you. Get out of here, you motherfucker." That was like, that's like my life. And then I look at his garden, and it's just like bountiful and has enough tomatoes that you can make a sauce out of it. So I kind of spiraled in a different direction.
Well, maybe I'll just cut this little clip for you of Rinna, and you can point it towards your garden. You can just hear, "Wow! Wow!"
I know. I think my plants just need Lisa Rinna encouragement. She just needs to come over and be like, "How are you, dying dill? Oh, Hatch Pepper, you're doing great."
So they've got a cake for Garcelle, and we find out that they're going to make this a makeshift birthday party because they were supposed to have a Birkin party, but COVID totally fucked them up. Okay. Yeah.
So sad when you can't have your Birkin party. Not cool, COVID.
I know.
Yeah. So sad.
And why don't you see that in the news? I mean, all it says is like 600,000 people dead. I mean, come on, news.
Well,
Birkin party canceled. Hello. Birkin
party. Hello. This was supposed to be a thing. So now they go over to Dorit's house, where Kyle shows up, and Dorit lets her in. It's like, "Hi, my love bug, come on in." And they have a big ass Christmas tree with like all these decorations. But aren't they both Jewish? That's what I'm trying to wrap my head around. Like, I understand with Kyle and Mauricio, Mauricio's Jewish, they're raising their kids Jewish, and Kyle even converted, but she was raised Christian. I don't understand why she has three Christmas trees, but I understand why she has Christmas stuff, and they send out a Christmas thing. But
I try to explain this to you every single Christmas, and you will not listen to me.
I won't listen.
Christmas has the word Christ in it, so yes, it's like, "Happy birthday, Jesus." I'm not taking that away from you, so everybody out there who's about to get mad, just save it. Okay, I don't care. Christmas is American. It's for gifts, okay? We want gifts. I mean, it's an American holiday. Jesus Christ might have died for your right to get presents. But, you know, you can ignore that if you need to. Just take the presents. It's for everybody.
Wow. You know, there are a lot of other countries that celebrate Christmas, too. Okay. Like, what about all those people, those sad people in Love Actually, okay? They're British. Well, except
I mean,
for
that lady got a scarf. I mean, she got one thing. Of course, that was the saddest gift, but I mean, nobody does it like America's like, so, like taking out mortgages on their house to buy their kids stupid little, you know, cars, little baby mini Mercedes and shit, you know? Greed. It's a holiday for greed.
I just felt like the lack of Hanukkah representation in Dorit and PK's holiday decorations was a little odd. I also didn't like this weird Santa's village on this like table in the foyer. Like it just was like this strange island where there's Santa's village. It just was like this, I don't know, it just seemed bizarre to me. And
well, it's just like seeing Dorit with that many houses. It's just like reminds you of all the houses that they've been squatting in that their financial, you know, services company owns or whatever their investment company owns that they squat in a new one every single year. You know, like each little house represents a place and all the trees should be filled with snow that's made out of like bills that they haven't paid. You know, like where's that bikini guy who never got paid? I want his bills on a tree.
Yeah, they probably do like close up photography on those houses, being like, "Come buy a timeshare in the beautiful Isle of Capri, where it has recently snowed. You'll enjoy the holidays more than ever in Capri." Details inside.
There's just a little train track with like a little Santa landlord that's going around, you know, waving a lease. Like, you better pay me.
I kind of like this now. Okay, I'm sold on their decorations.
Thank you. Yay, Christmas. You know, I say blend Hanukkah, Christmas, just get tons of presents for 8 days. Okay, I'm in.
It's just 8 days, presents. Right? I have, 8 days for Hanukkah.
You see, I'm a friend. Okay, so then let's see. So Kyle, of course, wants the Santa's village. So, you know, Kyle's ass is going to have a Santa's village. It's going to be slightly bigger next year.
You know it. It's going to be all over that pink neon art. There's going to be tinsel everywhere.
Well, hold on, Kyle. Let me put my new little babies down for a little. Ooh, little babies.
And she's talking about her little purses.
Yeah. She got a baby little Hermes that she calls her Mini Kelly. And of course, Kyle's just like staring at it like Gollum. Just like you know that there's someone there in LA that is like who's on a mission to throw that into a volcano somewhere. But Kyle is just like,
my precious, my precious. Hello. So then they get in the car to go to this party, and then we get a delusional Dorit scene. I love nothing more than a delusional Dorit scene.
Well, listen, I've worked in fashion for 20 years, Kyle. Beverly Beach is doing so well.
Is it?
That I'm moving to bridal, Kyle. I'm moving to bridal.
Yeah. And then we see her on FaceTime with Nectaria, a designer from probably who lives in the phone, a FaceTime designer.
She's like, I got the designs, Nectaria. Nectaria has been in the bridal industry for years. And they're looking for more fashion-forward designs. So she called me.
Did she?
Because she needs more fashion sense.
Dorit, ain't nobody called you to design wedding dresses.
No one.
That did not happen.
One did. And then she tries to do this like faux imposter syndrome thing where she goes,
you know, there's that little doubt in your mind where you wonder, can I do this? I've never done bridal before, and I don't know one thing about it, guys. And then the other side of my brain says, no. You've designed before. You've designed a room in a restaurant. You're a creative person. And they just show the book, the Capri room in Bucca di Beppo.
You've designed a room in a restaurant.
Can you imagine? Yeah, I got my, I got this wedding dress. It's by this designer. She also made a lemon themed room in a
Bucca di Beppo.
Bucca di Beppo. It's like, is that why your wedding dress has the specials for the day on it?
Yeah.
I just can't wait to see the day till I see my first bride walk down the aisle in one of my designs. Also, I'm doing ready-to-wear couture, flip-flops, flatbread undergarments, and penne pasta pashmina coil. It's everything.
It's going to be a wedding veil made of breadsticks.
And now, will you please put the ravioli on the woman's finger?
The tortellini.
So, speaking of which, what happened to Kyle's fashion line that loungewear, that beautiful, beautiful loungewear. That seems to just disappeared.
Because she had Carol by Aileen 2, and that went away. And then she had Kyle by Serena. Was that her
Something
name?
Like that.
What was the lady's name?
Maybe it was like Kalia Bahav. So, so then.
What a shame, too, because it was the perfect year for caftans. Wasn't
perfect
it?
Year. But you know what? There's never a good year for bad fashion. So, Dorit's like, when I got married, I had no idea what I wanted. I just wanted a dress that made me feel good. That had a little bit of drama, a little bit extra. PK said I should just take a Pringles box and wrap it all around me. But I said, no, PK, that's what you're going to do, not me.
I wish I could have designed me own wedding dress. So then we get to the party, and Harry answers, and Kyle's like, hello, how are you? How are you?
And did you notice this subtle thing? Kyle knocked on the front door, and she goes, I wish I could just walk in. I was like, is this setting up something? Like, I was fully anticipating a scene where Kyle was going to later say, Lisa, it's so funny. Like, I was at your front door and I was like knocking. I was like, I wish I could just like walk in, you know, like sunned into crystal. Oh, do you guys want to talk about that? I totally thought that was coming.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with, I just want to walk in like I can't to Sutton's house because it's mine. It's my
well,
house.
There's that too.
Hello.
There is a lot of like knocking and entering drama on this season if you think about it.
Yep. Kyle's like, Harry, did Rena do any of this work? And he's like, nope, she did nothing, so enjoy it. And Dorit's like, well, that would be very different at my house. Husband's doing things. And Kyle says, my husband would never do this. Neither. He would never practice L.A. law or cook or set a table. The L.A. lawyer, pasta de jour, no table setting, wedding dress. I've got it, Harry.
You might want to work on that name a little bit. It's a long name for a wedding dress.
So
they're talking about how Harry and Lisa are going to build a pool in the backyard. So that way the kids, when they're older, they will be incentivized to come back with their kids, which seems like a lot of money to spend to have them come back for it, right?
So, yeah, your kids will have plenty of pools. They're models.
They're fine.
they're successful models. But also we get to hear Dorit pronounce bolognese, because this is an episode where none of these non-eating women know how to pronounce actual food, which cracks me up. So Rena says bolognese, and Dorit's like, Harry, the gourmet chef specializes in grilled beef, blueberry pie, and bolognese. I know you're going for Italian, but no, Dorit. No,
Just like they say in Positano. So then, now Kyle, of course Kyle says something like this. She's like, well, Harry, Amelia's 19, and that's how old I had when I had my first. Can you imagine it could be happening? Amelia's got this, and can you imagine? He's like, no. Get out of my face.
So then everyone starts arriving. It's like 10 minutes of people arriving. And, oh, my God, they're wearing heels on the grass. Will these ladies never learn? And then Erica comes out. And Erica goes up to the bar. And she's like, what are you guys having? And Dorit says, I'm having a vodka soda carcassat.
And then Kathy shows up, and Sutton shows up. And so Sutton's the last one to arrive, and they're all sitting outside in this big orange bench thing. And Sutton sits down, and Kathy goes, hi, Thomasina. And then it's like, it cuts all the women being like, oh, she said hi, Thomasina.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, it's like Sutton a huge pause. Everyone's like trying to hide behind their wine glass. And Sutton goes,
oh, Thomasina. Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, Tommy. Hey, Tommy. And then everyone starts cracking up because Sutton's laughed. So now they're allowed to laugh.
Yeah.
And Sutton's like, oh, is that where we're going to start? Oh, wow. That's fun.
Then she's like, I'm at my breaking point with Violator, Peeping Tom. It's not funny. And I'm ready for it to end. These girls need to stop. These girls need to stop. Oh, and I was wrong. Sutton was not the last. Was not the last one. Garcelle was the last one. And we know this because when she walks in,
Garcelle! Oh, God, Garcelle, how are you?
Well, I haven't been here in a while. Oh, yeah. It was my 50th birthday party 7 years ago. Remember? And Garcelle's like, yeah, when we were friends. That was really nice.
And we see pictures from the party, and Rinna is wearing literally the same outfit, just leopard print. So so now the girls head to the table, and Rinna's like, okay, everyone, dig in. Go eat. Eat. Come on, everyone, eat. Because I know we're all eaters here. Come on, everyone, go eat. And then they bring out these, like, giant-ass bowls. Like, even if you – those are big bowls even for people who aren't Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like, big-ass bowls of bolognese. And I was like, this is cruel because no one's going to eat any of this pasta.
Yeah, no, but we never see a bowl. We hear them say that they ate it, but we don't see the bowl, which they must have a different editor on for this episode because the editor for the rest of the season has shown us every single bite that they have not eaten. So
yes.
I was surprised. So Kathy does a cheers. Thanks for having us. And Harry comes. So she's like, oh, my God, Harry's going to eat with us. You sit at the head of the table, Harry. Oh, my God, Harry's here. It's Harry Hamlin.
I'm gonna go sit next to Garcelle.
So let's see. So they ask where the kids are for Thanksgiving, and Delilah's in Tulum. And Amelia's here, but she's gonna go to Cabo tomorrow, and normally we meet them, but we won't this year because of COVID.
Yeah. And they were afraid of the borders closing. And so finally,
what do you bet that COVID, you know, that the mayor of Cabo was like, I don't think it's a good year, Miss Rinna. It's not a good year. They don't want to get stuck with Rinna.
Yeah, they don't.
They're like, no.
No. So then Kyle, of course, is like, so is Amelia going with Scott? Just trying to push that some more. And Rinna's like, no, I don't ask a lot of questions right now. I don't. So now it's more round robin, thoughts about, age differences. So Crystal's like, well, my husband's 20 years older than me and we met when I was 20. But Rob and I are the exception. I'm like, sure. I'm sure you're the first person to say that in Los Angeles. The exception, of course.
And Rinna's like, I mean, all the stuff in the press, it's like, holy guacamole. We're in the press all the time. I hate it. Oh, hi, TMZ. Remember that season when they were accusing Vanderpump the entire time of calling the tabloids? And then they go to Denise's wedding and Rinna's like, oh, my God, hi. Hi, TMZ.
Is that the same season? She knew, like, everyone. Yes, it was the same season. Yes. So Harry's like, well, I find the age difference odd, but then I think of myself and Ursula Andress, and she was I was 14 years younger than her. You know, I was 29 and she was 44. She was 44. I feel like they're just constantly mentioning how old Ursula Andress is. This old decrepit lady who had a baby.
But also, it's a far stretch from 19 to 29, like developmentally, people.
It really is.
Not really the same thing.
It is a far stretch. But also, I think it's odd that Erica keeps chiming in like, listen, I married a guy who was 20 years older than me. I'm like, and look how it's turning out. You basically spent this entire season saying that everything that we've watched between you guys was essentially a lie and that you weren't allowed to think for yourself and you weren't allowed to speak up for yourself. You weren't allowed to do anything. It was Tom's show and you were just there and you were like a fembot in this relationship. And now you're going to be like, yeah, I married someone who's 20 years older than me. You know what happens? I'm like, this is not
he was way well older than 20 years older than her, though. Wasn't he like 40?
Sorry, 30 years older. 33 years older. He was 61 when she was 27 or something.
And she's like 46 or something, 47.
33, 34. Yeah.
Anyway, so Harry's like, okay, bye. So he leaves. And then Garcelle, who cares? Like, okay, so now they bring the cake out for Garcelle. And they all start singing happy birthday. And Dorit's like, never knew how much you love me, Picky. Never knew how I got the fever, Bolognese.
And the cake comes out and Garcelle makes her wish, and her wish is that the next man that she is with is hung like a horse. Kathy goes, I didn't know she liked horseback riding.
That's my reaction. Like, Kathy,
do we, how much, how much do we think Kathy's in on the joke? Because some of these things I'm like, wait a second, this is too
well, that was an obvious one, right?
Yeah. Like, this is too yeah. much.
Yeah. So Garcelle's like, well, I just truly appreciate this, especially from you, Rinna, because we've known each other a very long time, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
She's like, okay, sure, great.
So then we see 1 week earlier, Rinna announces that she's going to do a party. So everybody basically brought presents for Garcelle, right? So Garcelle starts opening the presents, and the one from Crystal and Kathy and Kyle is now, I was confused. Is this a ring that Crystal already had?
Did you see the significance? Wait, before that, though, here's the significance of it. I don't know if you caught this. They were opening up presents, and Sutton goes, "Dadgummit, I didn't bring presents. They brought presents. I don't bring presents." Did you catch that part? That's why she was in a tizzy, because she was the only one that didn't bring a present, and that's why we had a flashback to Rinna saying, "Okay, everyone, so bring presents, bring presents." So now we're here, and Sutton didn't bring a present. I guess she forgot or like whatever.
No one told her or what?
No one told her.
Is
and
that
they're
the
all
implication?
Well, she was told, she was sitting there when Rinna said it, but they all went in. There was like a group present from Crystal, Kathy, and Kyle. There was another one from like Dorit and so-and-so. And
texts I was not included in.
Yeah, that's the implication. So she is feeling all uncomfortable because, you know, like she's all about doing the proper thing. And, you know, it looks very tacky to not bring a gift. So she is now spiraling.
Oh, and she was left out of all those group texts of people like planning gifts together.
Exactly.
Okay, so this ring, it's like this big diamond ring. Was it something that Crystal already had that they bought from Crystal?
I don't
because
know.
Because Crystal's like, well, you were admiring it, and you know, it was just clogging up. It's just been stuck in my jewelry box. She said something
oh, is
like
that. What
that.
She said?
So like,
I didn't
so
realize.
Did they buy back the ring from you? You guys, this show's not this deep. I don't know why we're getting this deep on it, but I have to
so
know.
They're just opening these presents like, oh my God, I love a surprise. And like, oh, it's another gift. Look at the thoughtfulness that went into this gift. That was so nice to bring a gift. And Sutton's just like powdering her nose or something, but she's like,
she's doing her Dior lips.
She's just like, I'm not happy. So Kyle sees that Sutton, you know, Kyle has, you know, she can see if someone's upset, right? Because she's going to like pry it out of them to make a scene out of it. So she goes over to Sutton and she's like, what happened? Did I miss something? What happened? No, 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 nothing's wrong. It's just, it's my last night with my kid. And, you know, the weather report said that it would be slightly cloudy today. It's not. And I don't like being lied to. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing, Kyle. Nothing is wrong with me right now, Kyle.
And they just cut to Rinna going, I love a surprise! I love a surprise! And so Kyle's like, come on. I mean, did I miss something? What happened? You're obviously upset. She's like, I don't like being places where I don't like people. More lipstick. More lipstick.
Well, who don't you like? And then there's just a close-up of Crystal just like laughing. Like, So Kyle and Sutton decide to go walk off to another corner so that way they can really talk about it.
Yes, and Sutton's like, I want to go home. My puppy is coming today. She's like, oh my God, give me a fucking break. Just tell me the truth. We're friends. We are friends. You can tell me anything, which is hilarious because you're just waiting for Kyle yes. to talk shit about Sutton, right? Which she does. It's yeah, so funny. So Sutton's like, well, I have a really difficult time being fake. Okay. It is hard to sit across from the table from someone who doesn't like me, who's been talking bad about me, and who is looking at me quite smugly. To be honest, and I don't want to look at her face anymore. That's it.
And she's like, there's no resolution to all this, and it's wearing me. And Kyle goes, you mean with Crystal? Yeah, Kyle. Yes, with Crystal. Who else? With Dolly Parton. Okay. So she's like, you mean with, listen, you can be honest with me. Landlord to tenant, you can be honest, okay? So you still feel weird? She goes, yeah. I mean, she talked about me behind my back to everybody, and I have definitely not done that at all whatsoever. And I tried to say my piece, and she's never apologized to me. And I've had it, Kyle.
So Kyle has told Sutton for literally 15 minutes in a row, open up, say something. So Sutton tells her, and then Kyle goes, this isn't the Sutton I know. She's being emotional and, quite frankly, irrational.
Says the woman who, like, called the CDC because a bee got into her room in France. Okay, so Sutton's
Son's like, I'm not over being told I violated someone. I need to go, okay? She's saying that I violated her. So she's starting to lose her mind. So all the ladies hear screaming and their ears are like bloop, bloop, bloop.
Yeah.
They're screaming.
They slowly start to make their way over there. And Kyle's like, well, but she also said that she didn't mean it sexually. She goes, oh my God, she's a violator, Kyle. That's what she said, a violator. So then Crystal, we see a clip of Kyle having lunch, I guess, with Crystal, and Crystal and her saying, well, to Sutton, it sounded sexual, like you were saying violated, like sexual. And Crystal said, well, that word didn't come from me. That came from her.
Right.
The word sexual.
And so then we come back and we just see Rena saying, let's have drinks for girls. Oh, they're at the tables. They're still at the table. They're hearing the noise. They haven't moved yet. And Rena goes, let's have drinks for Garcelle's birthday. And someone goes, shots. She goes, let's do shots. Yes. And then our favorite thing is when they can't do the shot song. Right? They go, shots, 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 shots. Shots, 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 shots.
So then Garcelle is asking what's wrong. And Sutton's like, Jesus Christ. And Dorit's like, what happened? What happened? And Sutton's like, nothing. I'm just upset, y'all. And she does that thing with her fingers on her eyes. She's like, I'm upset.
I have very bad allergies. She says that she has bad allergies at first. I just have very bad allergies. Very bad allergies that make me cry. So then she's like, so the girl's like, honey, what's wrong? Like, what's wrong? She goes, nothing. Jesus Christ. I pray to Jesus Christ every day. You'd think he'd throw me a bone. I just need a bone, you know?
Throw me a bone, Jesus. And she's like cradling the giant vodka bottle.
It was like so Tennessee Williams-esque or something. I was like, this is amazing. This ridiculous display here.
And she's like, I'm still upset about the situation and the insinuations. And Garcelle's like, oh, but Sutton, we're past this. She's like, well, it's hard for me to sit there and pretend everything is fine and hunky-dory when it's not. And Kathy goes, who's hunky-dory? Who is that? And they all just stop and like look at Kathy to see if she's kidding. And then they all kind of look at each other like, oh, geez. And the music's like, ding, 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 ding. But gives her gives her shit eye with her napkin in her eye, because she's holding her napkin into her eye and she just looks at Kathy like,
this is my meltdown, please don't interrupt it. So Dorit goes, I want to make this clear, I don't want you to think something's been said when it's not. It's not like someone said, look at Sutton, her face looks like a big bowl of bolognese.
Well, we have to fix things, because now Crystal's standing there. She says, well, we have to fix things because I'm not happy with her. You said a lot of things about me. And Crystal goes, tonight? No. And I just can't sit across the table from you. She's like, please do not disrespect my feelings. Bone, bone, still no bone.
So Garcelle says, well, what do you need from Crystal? I don't need anything from Crystal. Stop it. You need something from Crystal to be okay. And then Rena, meanwhile, is sitting to the side going, it just goes on and on. It's just not done. As if, like, you know, Rena, the queen of also participating in storylines that go
Lucy,
on and
apple
on and on.
Yes.
So Garcelle goes, look at her and tell her what you need to fix so we can move on. Well, I think it's really shitty that you have used so many words about me. And Crystal's like, okay, so what are the words? You need to let me say my piece. You know, like, oh God. Okay. And Chris goes, okay. And she's like, oh, the word violate is really crazy to me. What crazy planet do you live on that you say such a crazy word as that? And by the way, I didn't like it when you called me crazy the other day too. But what crazy world? What crazy world would you say that?
And she's like, not your world. Boom.
And she shrugs.
And it's like, well, I'm not going to change. Oh, she goes, I didn't like that. She says, well, I'm not going to change the word. And it was used correctly. Look it up. And she's like, you can't change it because the word was said. You can't change it even if you wanted to. She's like, but I wouldn't change it. Well, don't try and change it now because you cannot change it. I'm not going to change the word. Oh, Miss Change a Word. Can I get some confirmation on this change, which is late, but we will now accept a change? What new word would you like to use?
I'm still using the word.
Change denied. You cannot change the word. It's like, oh my God. This woman is perfect for this show.
I know. She is so good. And then, and Crystal's like, listen, because she's like, I think I need an apology. She's like, no. She's like, and Garcia goes, oh, okay. And Crystal goes, she goes, well, you know what? I'm sorry that you're upset. And Sonny goes, that's not an apology. She goes, no, I'm not apologizing for the word. She's like, but that's not an apology. No, it's not an apology. That's not an apology. It's literally not an apology.
I'm not apologizing. If you apologize one more time, I swear to God. And she's, by the way, she's still holding this gigantic bottle of vodka that she's just kind of swinging around.
Also, by the way,
she's yelling at Crystal.
This entire discussion about violation has only been amplified by Sutton. Like, it would have just been a word in passing. No one thought like, oh wow, Sutton was really pervy. It would have just like been another thing gone, but she is losing her mind about it. So Crystal says, okay, you know what, look up the word. Okay, it's an abuse of privacy. Okay, and the example is when you walk in on a tomboy. Okay, why are you so defensive? What was going on that you're so defensive about in that room? Why are you so defensive? So then Crystal, I was very proud of Crystal because she really proved herself to be a housewife by going to the classic line that often makes no sense and isn't really applicable, but you know, it's thrown out there anyway. You know what she says? Ronnie, you do the honors.
You're upset because you're jealous.
Here. I'm like, I'm not sure I see that, but okay, like that's the sort of like the non sequitur use of that phrase is kind of like mince her place as a housewife. So congratulations.
But here's another thing. So she's like, so the word, I'm not going to apologize for that word. Look it up. It's an abuse of privacy. And Garcelle goes, yeah, but she didn't know you were naked. And Crystal says, but it's not that I was naked. It's not. Then what is it? You guys are confused.
Was that she lingered in there too long that she
but
walked
she
in?
Didn't. You guys, I can't.
No, I agree.
The fight needs to just.
But listen, if she felt violated, I just don't think it's a big deal. I think that, like, she said she felt, at that moment, she felt violated, and they've turned it into this court case where, yes, like, they, and it's, and by the way, and by the way, because there's a lot of talk on the internet over the past week about, like, well, Crystal is overreacting, or don't tell Crystal how she should or shouldn't feel. Like, that's not right. Let's all remember that this entire discussion about the word violate happened because Kyle brought it up last episode. Okay, Kathy made the Thomasina joke, and Kyle was like, "Ah." So, by the way, she was saying about the word violate. I think she was upset that you used the word violate and turned it into a thing, and it really wasn't supposed to be a thing.
Yes. Yeah. Like, if she didn't like Sutton walking into the room, I get it, but they're both wrong because. Sutton just not saying sorry was a problem, and then Crystal refusing to give up the word violated when we kind of know what that means in today's. It doesn't matter what the dictionary says; we kind of all know what that means. Like, everyone's agreeing that that's not the best way to say it, but neither one of them is letting go, and it's so Real Housewives of Beverly Hills that we're going to be doing this all the way to the finale party.
Yeah, and I love that it has now gone to this point where now Crystal is just saying that Sutton is jealous of her, which has truly nothing to do with any of this. It's just like one of those things that they say on these shows. So Sutton's like, I'm out. Fuck you, Crystal. That was really gross. That was gross. And so she starts to stomp across the yard to the staircase. She's like, I am out. So Kathy's like, you should go after her. This is your house. You should go after her. And it's like, yes, I will.
Get the hose. Are you kidding?
Hose her down.
So Sutton's like, no, man. Jealous of what? Your ugly leather pants. And Garcelle's like, oh, no. Like, all the women gasped that she said something about the pants. And Kyle goes, did she say leather pants? That's not fair.
And then we get like a close-up of the leather pants. It's like the camera zooms in, like, here they are. They are ugly, aren't they? And then we get that famous shot that they've been showing all season of Crystal just sort of standing there with one hand in her pocket, just like, I'm very happy. I'm sure no one's making fun of my leather pants now, right?
I just like that she's always kind of smiling, you know, so like smirking.
Listen,
like a teenager.
We said at the beginning of the season, we're like, oh, Crystal's an asshole. And she is, but we didn't say attach a judgment of a bad. That's not a bad thing. It was hilarious use of being an asshole in this episode. I mean, she was a total asshole to Sutton, but it was great because Sutton was also being an asshole in a different way.
Well, I've just subscribed to the Beverly Beach email.
Oh, good. You can get all the updates on when those wedding dresses and bikinis are going to be hitting Fashion Week.
Yep. I'm on here right now. Okay, everybody, just so you know, Beverly Beach is still a thing. At least, you know, it has its Shopify site or whatever. So I'll let you know how that goes. Maybe I'll buy some bronzer. Okay. But until then, thank you so much for being here with us for another day. We will be back tomorrow with Family Karma. What do you think of that?
Whoa, I'm excited. I'm getting my tissue boxes out because just watching the episode is going to make me think of last week when I was just bawling everywhere. So excited for that. And again, Crappens on Demand if you want to watch this. So that's on patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Bye.
Now you can see our faces if you're watching. You can see our faces. Bye, bye everyone.
Bye.
Throw me a bone. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.